Our first speaker this morning is Brother John Schaefer. We have a very close relationship with Brother John because of his relationship with one of the families here in the congregation. And so we've known John for many, many years. John and his wife, Linda, have been married since November of 1968. They have three daughters. John works for the U.S. Postal Service. I usually give him a hard time about working for the Postal Service, but we'll skip that this time. We'll give him a break. We don't want him to go postal. Actually, I work for the Postal Service too, but that's when I work. I work for the Postal Service. He serves as a postmaster. John has spoken on lectures in Colorado, Minnesota, Missouri, and Nebraska. He's worked with the IBS lectureships in Minnesota and done overseas work in Estonia and India since 1995. John has labored with the church in Kearney, Nebraska for 15 years. We look forward to his lesson this morning.
Good postmasters have good managers so they don't have to work. We appreciate the kind words. It is a humbling experience to come down here each time because of the fact I looked around to see so many speakers out there that are our speakers, and here I am up here for some reason trying to give a lesson to you who I enjoy being at your feet and listening to the lessons you give. And I would be amiss without saying that, you know, we do look out here each year and there's always some faces that we're missing. And from those who've left us and went on to that reward. And, of course, my uncle that just a week ago. So we appreciate the ones that are still here and we look forward to that reunion in heaven. My brother Jim told me that he was going to be checking all my scriptures, and I said, which ones? And he said, all of them. And I said, well, I was just going to get up there and tell a story. Isn't that what preachers do? They just get up and tell stories. They, you know, whether it has anything to do with the Bible or not, it doesn't matter anymore. Well, we know that it does matter, doesn't it? Because following the narrow way to heaven requires hearing God's word. And we're not going to get to heaven unless we hear God's word. And then there's not just hearing, we have to be obedient to that, don't we? As we look at the scriptures, we see numerous places in the passages, in the scriptures, that we have a need to hear. In Matthew 11 and Matthew 13, Revelation, the second chapter, is inundated with, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And it's throughout, we see numerous scriptures that tell us there is a responsibility for the person to hear. And it is a responsibility of who we hear, what we hear. And some people, you know, today we have to ask the question, does it matter what we hear? Because there's so many people out there speaking, but they're not all speaking the same thing. Even in the Lord's body, we're not hearing them speak all the same things. You know, we always said, well, back in the 50s and back in the 60s, if the sign out front said Church of Christ, we could just walk in and we knew that it would be brethren. And now we see that sign and we hesitate. There might be a little orchestra pit anymore, but it still has that sign out there. So we have to be careful of who we hear, what we hear. And of course, it does matter. You know, there's a story that I heard just recently about two young boys who attended a wedding. One's name was Jack, and the other one's name was Don. Now, you might know where this is going already. Jack asked Don. They were at this wedding, and after the wedding, Jack turned to Don, and he said, how many wives can we have? And Don, without any hesitation, said, 16. And Jack just looked at him, you know, with that Texas look. Here's this California boy telling him he can have 16 wives. He said, how'd you come up with that number? He said, well, the preacher said, for better, for worse, for richer, and for poorer. Sounds like a California guy, doesn't it? You see, so we can sell the same story, we can hear the same story, and people hear it differently, don't they? People can hear the same lesson and hear it differently. And so from the illustration I just pointed out, it is important of who we hear, it's important what we hear, and how we hear. You know, sometimes we've got our hearing aid up here, even though we don't have one, and when somebody says something we don't agree with, what do? We turn that old volume completely off, don't we? It might be the truth, but oh, we turn it off because I don't want to hear that part. So we want to take a look at the Scripture. The Scripture that's been assigned to me today by the elders here, and take a look at that and realize it is with our Scripture today that many people read it or hear it and hear it differently. They'll read it differently because they want something added to it or they want something taken away from it. If you have your Bibles, open them, please. I'll be reading from Romans the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 17. Romans the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 17 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they... For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, we who hath believed our report? And then he says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," or by the word of Christ, as the American Standard points out. One person stated that preachers suppose too great a knowledge to our hearers. Now what that means is we think that everybody we're speaking to is on the same page that we're on. In other words, we think where everyone is on the same level of knowledge of the Bible. And sometimes we get talking and we think, and we lose a lot of people right away. And I'm one of those first ones that gets lost. Because of the fact that we sometimes think, well, everybody knows the basics. Everybody knows that. I listened to a lesson up here from St. Joe yesterday, and this guy was talking about 12 little footmarks. And I kept saying at least 13. But 12 little footmarks on how to talk about the Old Testament. How to really just bang, 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 it works. But you know, not everybody knows all 12 or 13 of those people in the Old Testament in order to teach it. But sometimes we think, well, everybody's on the same plane as me, or maybe a little bit higher. But we want to make certain that everybody really understands what I have to say today. I want to make myself perfectly clear, even with my Nebraska accent. I want you to be able to understand what I'm saying. I don't want you to go away and say, well, what did John mean by that? What did he really mean to say? Well, the text that we're reading about here this morning is speaking about men being saved. And it also points out that not all have obeyed. Not all had obeyed. So some had been a little bit further on than others, weren't they? So here we take a look at that. There is a need for obedience, isn't there? There is much a need for obedience. One of the things we forget that, you know, God created man in his image. And if man had stayed in the image in the same way, the same state that God had created him, did you realize there'd be no need for a Savior? That's something we don't think about too much, is it? But God created man pure. He made him without sin. If he had stayed that way, would Jesus had to come? We would have already been perfect. We would have had no need for salvation. Well, hopefully everyone here this morning is familiar with a man by the name of Adam. And a man back here, Travis, calls Eve Adam. It calls her Adam too. He says that her last name was Adam. And he backed it up with Scripture. So if you want to know how he got that, you can look at the Scriptures. Take a look at Adam. Adam was the first human created without sin. But later we see that he sinned, he transgressed God's law, and in doing so, what did he need? He needed a Savior, didn't he? And so we see that a Savior was needed. We know that it was something that was God had already saw was going to happen. God already understood. And in this particular Scripture, in the very first verse there, verse 13, is where a lot of people already get confused when they're reading the Bible, isn't it? First, verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's immediately where some people start going off the edge. You know, sometimes we take things out of context. We don't make it work with other passages. And we just say, well, that's all it says we need to do, and that we'll just stop there. You see how we hear it, how we read it, how we accept it with the rest of the scriptures certainly makes a difference. In our passage, it tells us our need to call upon the name of the Lord. And everyone here agrees with that, don't you? Everyone would agree with that statement. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. But when do we do that? How do we do that? To call on Him is to worship Him, isn't it? We call on the name of the Lord. We're worshiping God. We can do that in a number of different ways. But the Bible also tells us that when we worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4, 24 points out. And calling on His name is not enough to save us. Just calling on the name of the Lord, you know, some of Satan's followers knew who Jesus was. They called Him by name. Were they saved? See how silly that is? All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. And you talk to those same people who preach and teach that, and you ask him about the salvation of those followers of Satan who called upon His name. That's all you have to do. They're saved, right? It is important how we hear the Word of God. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." You see, the Bible answers the question if we'll just go to the Bible for the answers. Instead of relying on the preacher, relying on the teacher, relying on somebody else to tell us what the Bible means, why don't we just go to the Scriptures? All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. Well, here it says, not everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. Who are you going to believe? How are you going to make it work? You see, you have to look at the Scriptures and bring them all together. To call is by implication an appeal. And as I mentioned, we can do this by prayer. Don't we call on the Lord in prayer? We tell Him of His loving kindness. We thank Him for the loving kindness. We thank Him for His watch over us. We ask for forgiveness of sins. We pray for our safety in our travels. We pray for our loved ones. We look at this, you know, when we pray to God, it's a trust. We trust in God. Do you trust in God when you pray? You should. We need to trust. If you don't trust in God, why do you pray? You see, it wouldn't make any sense. It's like being baptized without repenting. It makes no sense, does it? We need to make an appeal, but we need to trust in Jesus, who has the power to save. We must do all that is involved in calling on the name of the Lord to see what it's talking about. In Acts, the 22nd chapter and verse 16, we know that Paul arose and was baptized. He was immersed. He wasn't sprinkled. He didn't have water poured on him. And then it says what? Then he called on the name of the Lord, didn't he? You know, do you ever look at the Scriptures, and every time someone is baptized, you see rejoicing after the fact, don't you? You never see someone just calling on the name of the Lord, someone repenting of their sins, not someone confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then rejoicing, do you? Now, if you do, let me know, because I have never found that. I always see rejoicing after one becomes a Christian. But look at Paul. There was Paul. He was told what he needed to do. Now, a lot of our brethren say there's nothing we need to do today. There's nothing we have to do. But even on the day of Pentecost, what did we see? On the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Every time, you know, what shall we do? If we don't have to do anything, why would that question ever be asked? Paul didn't wait for a better day. I was reading a bulletin the other day from someplace. It said they were going to have a baptismal service in about 2 weeks for those who were to prepare to be baptized. Now think about that and look at the scriptures again. Upon hearing and believing, what did those in the book of Acts do? The Acts of the Apostles, every time they heard, they believed, they understood what they needed to do, they didn't wait even at midnight if they were told at midnight. They had to hear something, but they also had to respond to it. They didn't wait for a better day. They didn't put it off for a more convenient time. You know, we have only one example, one person wanting to hear at a more convenient time. And you know, we don't ever see that he followed up and ever became a Christian, do we? Because we don't know that we're going to ever have a more convenient time. We don't have guarantee that I'll ever make it back to Nebraska, do I? No guarantee of that. There's no guarantee I'll make it out of the auditorium. But we always think and plan for putting it off for a better time, a better place, you know, or I want to do it, you know, when so-and-so is around. We should never put it off for another time. You know, many claim they are followers of Jesus, they're believers of Jesus, but they don't do what he tells them to do. He told them what they had to do. And then in Luke 6:46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I tell you to do?" Did you ever think about that? We proclaim to be Christians. Everyone here today proclaims to be a Christian who's at that age, don't we? Are we a Christian outside of when the church is not meeting together? Can a person pick us out and know that we're still a Christian on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Or are we a Christian only on Sundays and maybe an occasional Wednesday? I was listening to the message last night, and I thought after Charles' lesson and after Tom's message last night, that I'd just get up here this morning and I'd say, "You know what you heard last night? Amen," and just sit down. Because, you know, I've always been told that I steal a lot of people's lesson outlines. I've been told that before. And especially as hearing Tom's last night about faithful. And I was talking and reading someplace online or visiting with somebody online. Might have been with Travis Maine down at St. Joe. I don't know. But we were visiting and talking about faithful. You know, do we ever say, "Well, he's pretty faithful. She's pretty faithful." Boy, they're kind of faithful. Now, do you think we're going to get to heaven being pretty faithful? Or kind of faithful? But yet, we'll say, "Well, that brother and sister, they're pretty faithful." What's that mean? It means they don't come all the time when the services are being held. "Be thou faithful unto death," is what it says, isn't it? Even to the point of death, Revelation 2:10. If someone came into this door and today with, and I'm hoping it's not the elder here that's got some of his trainees, and it says, everybody come in here, and they come in with all these guns, and says, "Okay, everybody who's not a Christian, get out." How many of us would get out? I'm afraid some of us might say, "Hey, you know, that door looks pretty comfortable on the outside of it." You know, are we a Christian when we're outside of the body? When we're by ourselves? We're around our friends that we run with every day. When we take a look at that and it says, "Whosoever," that means no one else can make that statement for me. That means that I cannot be saved because someone else believes. I cannot be baptized for someone else, and someone else cannot be baptized for me. And it's not an option. You know, when you buy a car, you can buy a car with options, can't you? But Christianity is not a religion of options. You're either a Christian or you're not. You take it with what Christ has given and accept it. You follow it, you believe it, you live it, or you're a part of the denomination, aren't you? "I don't want this, Christ, and I'd like to have that." We're no longer a part of the body, are you? We've added to, we've taken away from. We don't have options. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 14, as we continue on in our lesson here this morning, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, I want to make myself specifically clear, just like I did at the beginning. I'm not as eloquent as the preachers are. And you'll see, like, Larry will get up here, and he won't come. You know, I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of notes. He comes up here with his stacks and stacks and stacks of notes. And you notice there's a lot of difference between Larry and me, even though we're both postal employees. But he studies. He knows how to do this. He puts a lot of preparation into it. I, even after I put in my preparation, still have to have my notes in front of me so I don't lose my place. But you see, a preacher is necessary. And I'm thankful as I look out and I see so many faithful preachers that are willing to stand up and preach the whole counsel of God. Because there are too many of our brethren who claim to be preachers today who will not proclaim the whole truth for fear of being fired. For they're afraid if I speak out against homosexuality, I might be stepping on somebody's toes and I might be asked to leave. If I preach out against marriage, divorce, and remarriage, I might have an elder come and talk to me and say, hey, that's off limits. You see, there are so many out there who are not willing to preach the truth that we need to hold up the hands of these faithful brethren, the ones that were here yesterday, the ones that will be here throughout the rest of this week, and tell them thank you for preaching the whole counsel and not giving in to man. We should be proud of what they're doing as the Lord is. But many will say, oh, preacher's not necessary. They're not necessary. We cannot worship God unless we know God. And we cannot obey God if we don't know what God requires of us. And we cannot know what God requires of us without hearing His Word. Preachers are still necessary today. And I say that not saying necessary evils. Preachers you're around this week, thank them. Thank them for standing up for the truth. Many will say, the preacher is not necessary. But in John the 6th chapter, verse 44, it says, no man comes to me except the Father which has sent him, has drawn him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught all of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned the Father cometh unto me. They've been taught by someone, haven't they? You've been taught by someone. Titus 1:3 says, but hath in due times manifested his word, how? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Preaching is not an option. It is necessary. Paul said, woe unto me if I do not preach, didn't he? He said, I got to preach. There's nothing else that I want to do and need to do. I need to be preaching the Word of God when I have that opportunity. We take a look, of course, and we realize that preacher is not an option. We look and we see it during the first century, and many of us look back and say, well, yeah, preacher was necessary then, because in the first century, the Word of God was being revealed orally. No, everybody didn't have their own little Bible. And now, how many do you have at home? How many different Bibles do you have at home? And how many get opened? That's the key. You know, we used to have coffee tables. I think they did away with coffee tables because OSHA decided they were unsafe for our little children. But what did we have on the coffee table? We had this great big family Bible. When did it get open? When we put a piece of paper in it to make sure we remember where we put it? Didn't hardly ever open them. The dust collectors, like knickknacks. Dust collectors. Preaching is just as important today. You know, when Jim got me involved with going overseas, especially in the India work, we know that a preacher is still vitally important. Especially if we go to India, there are many who do not have Bibles, many who still can't read. Is a preacher necessary? Certainly. But a sound preacher is more necessary than a preacher. Anybody can preach, anyone can teach, but we need those who are willing to preach the truth. And we need to encourage them. You know, a lot of people say, well, in order to become a Christian, you need to know all so much of the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you, all you need to know is the gospel plan of salvation to become a Christian. When you know that Jesus Christ came to this earth, He died for us, for sinners, He arose and was back with God, and He tells us through the Scriptures that we have to hear the Word, repent, confess, be baptized. You don't need to know about instrumental music at that point, do you? or do you? Do you have to know everything there is in the Scriptures? If it is, then probably a lot of us need to go back and repent, because we claim that we're Christians and we still don't know the whole Bible, do we? Anybody here know everything about the Bible? We're continually to grow, aren't we? Every time we open up the Scriptures, we're finding something new in there. We can take a look at it and say, "Well, I didn't know it said that. When did that happen?" And it's the same Bible, same translation. It's not, you know, sometimes you get a new translation in it and you say, "I never read that before," and probably because it shouldn't have been there in the first place on some of these translations. One translation is, "I will sing and play," I believe is what it says now. Well, that opens up the door, doesn't it? Preacher is vital. We should be thankful for those who are willing to preach and are able to preach the whole truth. Acts 20, verse 27. But many will continue to say that a preacher is not necessary. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, in verse 21, it says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You see, God says preaching is necessary. Who are you going to believe? Man says it's not necessary? Or God, who says it's preaching is necessary? It pleased God that man could know the truth by the preaching that was done and is still being done today. We must preach the truth. And as I said here in my little lecture, you get the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Remember when you used to say that, when you used to put your hand on the Bible? "So help me God." I wonder why they don't say that in most courts today. When many were scattered, the Scriptures teach that they did not stop teaching and preaching. In Acts 8, chapter and verse 4, what did it say they did? They went everywhere, what? Preaching the Word. I'm afraid that's too many times we're afraid that if we go someplace and we say something that somebody doesn't agree with, boy, it's going to be the last time we're going to be asked back there. Well, brethren, if I'm teaching the truth and I'm not asked back because I'm preaching the truth, so be it. I'm not there for popularity contests. We need to do, as 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter in verse 4 points out, that we are to speak not pleasing to man, but pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. I was teasing Charles here last night. He said, "You've been in one place for 10 years. But he's still preaching the Word of God. He's not preaching anything different than he did at the other places where he was asked to move on. I remember he used to come up here and say, "Well, I got my U-Haul still out beside the house for, you know." And that was a standing joke. But you know, he was unwilling to compromise the Word of God, and I'm thankful for that. We should never compromise the Word of God. We don't speak pleasing to man, but pleasing to God. We need to teach our children. You know, we sing the song, "Be careful, little ears, what you hear." We need to continue to teach that to the adults. Be careful of what you're hearing. If you're hearing something strange, you need to look at it. Take a look at the Scripture. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show thyself approved unto who? Not unto man, but unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, and rightly dividing the Word of God. You see, God says division is necessary. There is a right way to divide. We divide the Scriptures from the old from the new. We take a look at these Scriptures and we're able to study the Scriptures on our own. You see, when Paul told Timothy to study, he's telling us to study. Now think about that. That's not saying preachers study, preachers' wives study, elders' wives study, but nobody else has to. Is that what that says? Study to show thyself approved. You cannot rely on some man, some woman to teach you the truth and preach it all and teach it all the time. We need to study ourselves. We need to take a look at the Scriptures and make certain the things that are being taught are from the Bible. Are we hearing what is being taught? Are we hearing it correctly? Or did we turn our hearing aid off? Are we studying? You know, it's so many times you come to services and what do you hear? How'd the Chiefs do last night? Getting ready for the World Series? Catch any fish on your last trip? Nothing wrong with that. But you see, I'm afraid that we're too many times more concerned with what's going on in the world instead of what's going on with the Lord's people. I pick on Travis this morning, friend I've met on the internet in the last 6 months or so, and glad he's here, and with his friend from Arkansas, and Kevin Colley, I believe is his name, and so we're thankful for them to be here for the first time. But I'm listening to this man spout all these names for the Los Angeles Lakers. He could probably give you their shooting percentages. How many times they fouled out in a game, maybe. And nothing wrong with that. But when that takes over our time for the Lord, that's when there's a problem, isn't it? When we dedicate, we can know everything there is about the mathematic tables. I have been lucky to get 1 + 1. But when we put all of our heart's desires into something outside of the body, outside of the Lord's Word, and we don't understand the Lord's Word, are we showing God which one we're more concerned with? What good are those stats going to do me in going to heaven? Not a bit, are they? I can hear those things. I can understand those things. But what good do they do me for my salvation and my soul? So indeed, as we look at the Scriptures, you know, we're not here to talk about the latest news. And again, if you go up online, you watch television, what do you see? These so-called preachers on TV, these TV evangelists, I don't hate to use that word, but those TV preachers so many times, 99% of the time, you don't even hear them quote one Scripture. I had one of my customers come in and he asked me if I'd heard this one Indian preacher, because he knows I go to India and work there. I said, no, never heard of him. He said, well, you gotta listen to him. So I found a place on the internet. I went and listened to him for 30 minutes. You know how many Scriptures he used? I didn't have to count. Didn't even have to get out my first finger. 30 minutes, not one Scripture. But this guy thought he was the greatest preacher in the world. That's why I said all I have to do today to make people happy is get up and tell a story. I don't have to preach from the Word of God to make people happy. But if we want to be right with God, I need to continue to preach the Word so that those around me can hear the Word of God. Those around me can realize what they need to do to rightly divide the Word of God and realize that we must keep the Word of God. You know, when the people went to Jesus, they didn't go to Him to hear the latest sports stories. Did Jerusalem beat Judah this week? They went to hear Him with the Word of God. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, is something that we need to commit to our memory and to our lives. The young man said, speak, for thy servant heareth. We need to all commit that to ourselves. We must follow the narrow way, and not by only hearing God's Word, but by being obedient to it. Thank you for your kind attention this morning.